And we're holding the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. We were talking about the question in the Mishnah about the question of how long you have to be made for a neder, how long a husband or a father has to be made for a neder. So the Mishnah had told us only one opinion on the subject, that you have until it gets dark that day. And then in the Gemara, we had a Braisa that actually Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon say that you have 24 hours. So now the Gemara is going to discuss something. And we also said in the Mishnah, the example we gave in the Mishnah had to do with where she made the neder on Shabbos and were made for it, and the husband or the father was being made for it while it's still Shabbos. So now let's take up that point about nedarim on Shabbos. The Gemara says Tznanhos, and we learned there with the last Mishnah and Masech the Shabbos, Mefirin nedarim b'Shabbos. A husband or father is allowed to be made for nedarim on Shabbos, as we'll see soon in the Gemara why that is. V'nish olin the nedarim shehem l'tzarech Shabbos, and we're also able to ask the Chacham about nedarim that are needed on Shabbos. Meaning, in other words, so you can have a regular case. A person made a neder. Forget about a woman whose neder is going to be mufur by her husband or her father. You have a woman who doesn't have a husband or a father to be made for her nedarim, or who's a bergeres and her father is not married yet, and her father no longer has reshus, or an almana, etc., and of course a man. So any of them, they actually have to go and be matu neder by a rav. So they're allowed to do that on Shabbos. When it comes to nedarim, shehem l'tzarech haShabbos, which are for the needs of Shabbos. So now the Chachamim had the question. This Gemara is also in the Masechta Shabbos over there. What does the Mishnah mean? Does it mean mefirin nedarim b'Shabbos l'tzarech haShabbos? Does it mean the words l'tzarech haShabbos? Is it referring to both cases or only to the second case? So is it saying that hafaras nedarim as well can only be nedarim that are needed for Shabbos? So let's say, for example, she had made a neder, say that she's not going to eat meat. So now that directly impinges on Oinig Shabbos. So then we're saying that you can be made for that neder on Shabbos. Oidoma, filo shaloi l'tzorech, or maybe not. Maybe you can be made for a neder on Shabbos, even where it's not needed for Shabbos. So in other words, mefir and dorim b'Shabbos would mean, as a general thing, you're always allowed to be made for dorim on Shabbos. And then, when it comes to nisholin, morning, when it comes to being matu neder, for that it would have to be l'tzorech haShabbos. And the idea would be because since Hataras Nedarim requires, as we're going to discuss soon, requires a base din of three, then therefore that looks more so it looks more like a din Torah on Shabbos. So actually the Ram says there are two possibilities. One is it looks too much like a din Torah on Shabbos. We know you're not allowed to do a din Torah on Shabbos, Xeda Drabanon, because you may come to write. Hataras Nedarim, of course, there's no concern that you're going to write. There's no writing involved, but still maybe the Chachamim said that you shouldn't be matu nedarim on Shabbos when you need the kind where you need a base din of three, because that looks too much like a din Torah. Or the other possibility that Ran says is because maybe you shouldn't do it on Shabbos, because in any case there's no deadline. You don't do it today, fine, you'll be matu the neder tomorrow. There's no deadline, as opposed to when it comes to being made for a neder, when a husband is going to be made for his wife or a father for his daughter, he has a deadline. If he doesn't do it by the time it gets dark, then he's not going to be able to. So what does the Mishnah mean? And in fact, the Rosh points out from the Gemara there on Shabbos, according to the possibility that Shehem Lutzarech HaShabbos refers to the whole Mishnah, the reason why it would be saying B'Shabbos separately, why not just saying Fir Nedarim, V'Nishon L'Nedarim, Shehem Lutzarech HaShabbos, would be in order to make that distinction, because after all, Hafara doesn't require a base din, and Sheva does. I'm Zayin Amud Aleph the top. So what is it? So the bottom line is, the question is, can a husband be made for nedarim for his wife or a father for his daughter when that neder has nothing to do with Shabbos? So the Gemara says Tashma, let's bring a proof. Tani Rav Zuti Dveira Papi, Rav Zuti Tora Braisa in the Yeshiva of Rapati, Ein Mefir Nedarim El Lotzarech HaShabbos. That you can only be made for nedarim when they're needed for Shabbos. So yes, if the neder directly impinges on Shabbos, say, for example, she made a neder that she won't eat meat, then yeah, you can be made for it on Shabbos. But according to this braisa, if let's say she had made a neder that she's not going to do some malacha, where in any case she can't do that malacha on Shabbos anyhow, then no, you wouldn't be able to be made for it on Shabbos. But the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi, holitznan hochi. But Ravashi says that's not what our Mishnah says. The fact is, you look at our Mishnah, it says, Nodra im chashecha. Our Mishnah had said that if she made the neder right before it got dark, mefer lo ad shelo techshach, then he has to be mefer before it gets dark. Now, now, if you say that he can only be made for nedarim that are necessary for Shabbos, then my iriyah chashecha. Then why mention the point where it was right before dark? Then he wouldn't be able to. He wouldn't be able to be made for even if it was in the middle of the day. Because after all, it's not needed for Shabbos. Because what are we talking about? Well, the Mishnah is telling us that if she made the neder right before Shabbos is over, then he only has the next couple of minutes before it gets dark, before Shabbos is over, to be made for it. Well, whatever neder she made then is obviously not going to impinge on Shabbos, because whatever it is not preventing her from enjoying earning Shabbos. The fact that she's depriving herself for a couple of minutes is hardly a deprivation. So, and still the Mishnah is telling us that he could be made for it. So implying, in other words, that let's say it was a neder that she's not going to eat meat. Fine, but the neder is only going to be in effect during 5 minutes of Shabbos anyhow. So that's not really impinging on Shabbos. Why would the Mishnah say that case? The Mishnah would actually be able to say that the Mishnah could tell us that anyway he can't be mefer because it's not needed for Shabbos. There's no sort of Shabbos in taking away the neder so it won't be in effect for the last few minutes of Shabbos. Tosfos and the Rosh say that if it was a little bit before dark, fine, you could be talking about that maybe in fact those few minutes would make a difference. But the Mishnah is saying generically that she made the neder ad shalay techshach, which could imply that it was really right before it got dark. So then, in that case, there's no oneg Shabbos involved. There's no covet and oneg of Shabbos involved in being mafter that neder. And still, the Mishnah is implying that you could be made to be made for that neder. And still, the Mishnah is implying that you could. So therefore, showing that you could do it even where it's not with sort of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, actually, Tanoi. You should know something, actually, you should know that it's actually subject to a machloikas Tanoi. So now, you have...
Why do you say the Mishnah necessarily talks about Yetzias HaShabbos is not Knesias HaShabbos? How do we know that?
Because the expression in the Mishnah was that if she made the neder, the Leile Shabbos, on Friday night, then he has Friday night and the whole day and the whole rest of Shabbos ad shetechshach till it gets dark. But then the Mishnah continues, Nodra im chashecha, if she made the neder right before it got dark, mefer ad shalay techshach, then he can be mefer until it gets dark, shim choshcha v'lahefer and yochal lahofer, because if it gets dark and he's not mefer, he can't be mefer. So the implication is that first the Mishnah is talking about that she made the neder Friday night, where we're saying that he has until the end of Shabbos, and the second one is talking about where she made the neder right before the end of Shabbos.
The question, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing. The Mishnah is implying that we're talking about she made the neder on Shabbos right before the end of Shabbos.
I don't understand your answer.
The answer is that... The Rosh and Tosfos both point out that, like this, when the Mishnah says that he can be mefer until it gets dark, that you can't be medayik that it means necessarily that he can be mefer a neder that's not necessary for oneg Shabbos, because you could say you're talking about that she made the neder much earlier in the day. But in the sefer, since it says that she made the neder right before chashecha, And you're saying that he can be mefer, the implication is, since the first part of the Mishnah was talking about that she made the neder on Friday night, the implication is that the second one is talking about where she made it on Shabbos, shortly before the end of Shabbos. So, and that wouldn't be the third of Shabbos. So evidently, then, the Mishnah must be saying that you can be Mefer on Shabbos, even where it's not the third of Shabbos. So, in fact, the Gemara says, Tanoi. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, you're right. You do have on Mishnahs implying that you can be Mefer Nedarim, even when they're not needed for Shabbos. On the other hand, we do have Rav Zutti's Braisa that says that you can't. So therefore, the fact is Tanoi. It's actually a Machlokas Tanoim. Because, as we learned yesterday, HaFaras Nedarim Kol HaYoyin Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda Rav Elazar Rav Shimon Omru Mesles, that we say that HaFaras Nedarim can take place throughout the day is what the Tanakama, is what the Tana of our Mishnah said, so only until it gets dark. But Rav Yosef of Yehuda and Rav Elazar of Shimon say you have 24 hours. So therefore, Lamanda Amar Kolayin ain't Feiloi. So now, according to the opinion, which is the Tana of our Mishnah and the Tanakama of the Braisa, that you only have until it gets dark. Then you would be able to be made for a neder on Shabbos, even where it's not for Tzorach HaShabbos, because otherwise the deadline is approaching. Because otherwise, otherwise, if he's not made for that day, he's not going to be able to be made for anymore, and therefore the Chachamim gave him a break and said that fine, he can be made for on Shabbos. Because otherwise she's going to have to go to Beis Din, and it's going to be a big hassle, and she may even herself not have charata. Keep in mind that the husband or the father can be made for the neder, even if she herself wanted to keep the neder, but he has the right to overrule it. So like this, if he doesn't have the chance to do it today, he won't have that opportunity, therefore the Chachamim give him a break and allow him to do it. On the other hand, Lamanda Omam Esles, on the other hand, according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Shimon, that you anyway have 24 hours, Letzorech HaShabbos Ein, Shelo Letzorech HaShabbos Loi. Then according to them, that's where Rabbi Zutti's Braisa would go, according to them, that you can only do it on Shabbos, only if it's Letzorech HaShabbos, but not otherwise, because anyway, you'll have time after Shabbos when you can be made for that neder. Because let's say she made the neder in the middle of the day on Shabbos. Fine, you're going to have until the middle of the day on Sunday, according to that opinion, to be made for the neder. So therefore, there's no hurry to do it. Therefore, there's no hurry to do it on Shabbos. And therefore, that Raisa is going to say that according to that opinion, we're going to leave things as is, and you can't be made for it on Shabbos. Because you could just as well do it after Shabbos. Whereas again, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, which is also the Tanakama of the Braisa, since after Shabbos it won't be possible to be made for anymore, because you only have until it gets dark, then therefore the Chachamim will allow him to be made for on Shabbos, whether it's needed for Tzorach Shabbos or not.
So basically the argumentation is falls on the definition of what is a day. Is it 24 hours or is it Shkia?
That's exactly what we discussed previously in the Gemara. You have two psukim that seem to, that you have one pasuk, you have the pasuk be Yom Shamoi, which implies that it's only on the day that he hears until it gets dark. On the other hand, you have Miyom El Yom, which implies that you have 24 hours. So we said that, in fact, is the basis of the Machloikas of the Tanoim, and each one is so the Tanakama is going to say the Yom Shamoi means exactly that, only on the day that he hears it. But you need the words Miyom El Yom, because otherwise you would think that it means that he can only do it during the day, but never at night. And that's not so, because if she makes the neder at night, he can be made for it by night. So therefore, Miyom El Yom teaches us that. And on the other hand, according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, it's the other way around. They learn from Miyom El Yom that you have 24 hours. And they say, Miyom Shamoi teaches us, you shouldn't think Miyom El Yom means maybe from a certain day of the week until the same day, the following week. No, it means 24 hours.
When the canceling of a neder implies an acquisition, let's say she made a neder not to acquire the house that's under contract, can the husband nullify on Shabbos that neder, which will cause her to automatically acquire a field or a house on Shabbos? Is that something that's allowed?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I mean, first of all, that wouldn't be a shavua. That wouldn't be a neder anyway. That would be a shavua. That's a whole different thing. But fine, a husband can be made for a shavua as well. It's a good question. Can he be made for a neder or a shavua in such a way that it would cause something also to happen on Shabbos? I don't know. It's a good question. I have no idea. With that said, though, by the way, now you could have a case where she made the neder on Erev Shabbos in the 24 hours are over on Shabbos. So then the Rosh says that actually then even according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you would be able to be made for it on Shabbos for the same reason, because otherwise the deadline is coming and you're not going to have the time to do it. So the Gemara continues. Now let's address the other part of the Mishnah. Again, we quoted a Mishnah in Shabbos that said Mefirin Nedarim b'Shabbos. So now we've established that it doesn't only mean you can be made for Nedarim that are needed for Shabbos. It means you can be made for Nedarim on Shabbos no matter what kind of Neder it is, because you have the ability to, because otherwise you're not going to have the ability to be made for the Neder once Shabbos is over, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, which is the Halacha that you only have until it gets dark. So now let's set the second half of that Mishnah said, we said you're allowed to go and ask the Chacham to be Matir Neder, but there you only can do it for Nedarim that are needed for Shabbos, because there's no particular deadline. You can just as well do it after Shabbos. So now the question is, are we talking about only where there was no opportunity before Shabbos to be matter that neder? So say, for example, that the neder was made right before Shabbos, or that there was no chacham available on Friday. Or maybe are we saying, even if there would have been time to be matir neder before Shabbos, and you weren't, nevertheless, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos as well. So what does the Mishnah mean as far as that? So Toshma, let's bring a proof. There is the kikul le rabbanon le braid rav zutter braid rav zeira afilu bin adarim shayilam knayim ba'oidya. We have, in fact, an actual case. Usually, it's funny, you know, usually you use Toshma, we bring something from a Mishnah or a Brice or whatever. Here we have Toshma from an actual case that was done. This is in the sense that we say Maiser Rav, something that was actually done in practice, is in a way stronger than a halacha that we have in a Mishnah or a Brice or whatever. Anyway, well, because we see that they actually did that in practice. When you have something in a Mishnah or a Brisa, conceivably it could mean. Now, halacha is technically that way, but in practice we don't do it. But here we see that in practice, the Chachamim got involved and were matir a neder for the son of Rav Zutter, Beredir of Ze'era, where he had made a neder, and they were matir it for him even though there had actually been time to be matir those nedarim before Shabbos. So yes, we see that it does in fact, that it can in fact be done. Provided that the neder is Latzorda HaShabbos. So that we said, as far as Nish'olin, it does have to be Latzorda HaShabbos. So this son of Rav Zutra had made a neder, let's say, that he's not going to eat meat or do something else that would impinge on Shabbos. So even though there had been time on Friday when he could have been matir the neder, since he didn't, and it came into Shabbos, then the Chachamim sat down and were matir his neder.
That's the reason why he didn't do it. He forgot.
Whatever the reason was, maybe because they weren't available. It doesn't really matter. The point is, whether it's because they weren't available, or whether it's that he made the neder right before Shabbos. Well, no, if he made the neder right before Shabbos, there was no time. No, it could be, let's say, for example, the Ran gives an example that there were no Chachamim available on Friday.
It has to be
Latzorah HaShabbos, right, that's the point. Unlike Hafaras Nedarim, we've established now that you can be made for Nedarim on Shabbos, even when it's not Latzorah HaShabbos, because otherwise you have a deadline coming, but when it comes to Hafaras Nedarim, with a Chacham, with a Yochid Mumcho, with Shloisha Hedyotis, that you need, that you can only do only if it's Latzorah HaShabbos.
It means the husband doesn't...
Hafaras is the husband for his wife, or the father for his daughter, right? That's the point. In other words, it looks much less like a din torah because it's being done in private and only by him, right? Yeah. So now, in this connection, Sabur of Yosef Lameimar. So now, Rav Yosef thought to say, Nish'ol and Adonim B'Shabbos might be only be Yochid Mumcha Ein B'Shloisha Had Yotis Loi. Now, when it comes to Ataras Nedarim, we're gonna talk about it a little bit now, and we'll continue more tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. What do you need exactly to be Matir and Neder? So you can have, we're going to end up saying that there are two ways. You can have a yachid mumcha. You can have one individual who himself is a mumcha, and we learned earlier in the Masechta, there's a machlokas, we showed him what exactly a mumcha means for this purpose. Does it actually mean that he has to have smicha, the original smicha ishmi piyish from Moshe Rabbeinu, which doesn't exist nowadays? Or does it just mean that he has to be expert in and out in all the halachas of Nedarim? Does it have to be that he's Yochid B'Dodoi, that he's the greatest Tamil Chacham of his generation? Whatever it is, in practice, in Shulchan Aruch, it says we don't have anybody of that caliber now, so therefore we don't do Hataras Nedarim with Yochid Mumcha. The other possibility is Shloisha Hedyotis, three regular people, where we don't mean Stam Amaratzim off the street, we mean people where if we teach them the halachas of Hataras Nedarim, they'll be able to understand. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef thought to say, when we say Nish'olah Nedarim B'Shabbos, would only be Yochid Mumcha Ein, you would only be able to have a Yochid Mumcha do it, B'Shloisha Hadyotis Loi, but not to have three regular people do it, Mishum Nemechzi Kedina. Because then when you have three people already, it looks much more like a Din Torah, and since, as we said before, you can't do a Din Torah on Shabbos, So even now, the Ran says, even if we hold, as we'll discuss tomorrow, Best Hashem, even if we hold that a Yochid Mumcha means somebody who has Smicha, still, you only have one of them, so it's not so noticeable, therefore it doesn't look as much like a Din Torah. In other words, the point is, the Yochid Mumcha, in principle, can judge Dinei Torah by himself also. We say in Pilkei Avos, Alti Don Yechidi, don't do that, but in principle, Alti Alocha, he's allowed to. Just Pirkei Avos is advising it's not a good idea to, because it's always better to have more people. It's always better to have other people that you can consult with. Shein don yechidi ela echa, there's the expression. And Pirkei Avos, the only one who can judge, who can really judge alone and know that he's judging truthfully, is Hashem.
But here we don't want to judge.
No, one second. So that's the point, in other words. So the Ram is saying like this. When it comes to a regular Din Torah, the fact is you can have a Yochid Mumcha as well. So you could argue that having a Yochid Mumcha for Nedarim also looks like a Din Torah. The fact is, though, for our purposes, we're saying it doesn't because it's only one person and therefore it's not as noticeable. So even though technically, yes, a Yochid Mumcha could judge a Din Torah, but it's not as noticeable, and he wouldn't be allowed to do that on Shabbos, but Rav Yosef is thinking Hataras Nedarim would be different. To be Matu Neder with a Yochid Mumcha on Shabbos would be fine, but not to have Shloisha Hedyotis, because that really does look like a Din Torah. But on the way Abaya, but Abaya says, no, Kivin de Sviro on Afilam Umud, since we hold that you're able to be Matu Neder even standing, you don't necessarily need to sit down, as we're going to discuss soon. I feel a bit kroivim, and that you can even have relatives be matir neder, whereas relatives can't judge a din Torah. But I feel a balayla, and that you can be matir neder even by night. Loy mischazi kedina, therefore it doesn't really appear like a din Torah, and therefore you'd be allowed to do it on Shabbos when it's the Tzorach HaShabbos. The Rosh says, by the way, now we learned at the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Beis, we mentioned over there that we said Chiya Barav would be shooting arrows while he was listening to people who came for Ataras Nedarim. Rabbi Barav Huna would stand or sit. So the Rosh says that actually that piece of Gemara actually belongs over here. Here, where we're talking about the question, do you have to be standing or do they have to be sitting for Ataras Nedarim, or could you be standing? That piece belongs over here, where now it would be relevant to mention that Chiya Barav held that you don't really need to be paying close attention, therefore he could even be shooting arrows, practicing archery, while he's listening to people being Matir Neder, or he brings another girsa, the girsa we had in front of us in the Gemara, was Shadi Gira Uvadik, meaning that he would shoot arrows while he was asking the person about Ataras Nedarim. The other girsa, the Rosh brings over here, is Shadi Nidra Uvadik, while he was listening to Ataras Nedarim, he would meanwhile be checking a shchita knife to see if it's sharp. Either way, the point is he wasn't giving it his fullest attention. And then we're saying, Rabbi Barav Huna would be standing or sitting, implying that he didn't hold necessarily, you have to be sitting, if he happened to be standing, to be Matir Neder while standing, sitting, because he held it doesn't matter. As we're going to discuss in the Gemara soon, it boils down to the question of how carefully do you have to investigate to find grounds for Ataras Nedarim? If you have to investigate carefully, then you have to sit in order to be able to think about it, and you can't be doing other things meanwhile. If you say you don't really need to investigate it much, then you can be standing and you can even, like Chiya Barav, be doing other things. So we'll see that in the Gemara soon.
Does that rule, or it depends?
Well, that's what we're going to see soon. The question is, can you use Charot, or do you need a Pesach? We're going to get to that soon on Amud Beis. By the way, this that we're mentioning that relatives can be Matur Neder, the poskim do point out, now it is true, even though now relatives are possible to judge a din Torah, but they're allowed to be Matur Neder. On the other hand, you have other kinds of psulim that are possible to be dayonim. For example, you can't have a person who's done aveira, women or people who did aveiras or whatever. There we do, Rabbi Akiva brings that, only when it comes to relatives, there's no actual psul in the relatives themselves. After all, they're kosher to judge other people. And the same thing, nighttime, it's not really a psul in the goof, it's only a psul of time, therefore we allow it by a Tartus and Garden. But if, let's say, for example, women, children, people who did Aveiras or whatever, are all possible to be Matur Neder, because they're always possible to sit on a base din always. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Amar of Abba, Amar of Huna, Amar Rav, Halacha Mefirin Dorim Balayla. The bottom line halacha is, you're allowed to be made for Nedarim by night. So the Gemara says, why do we need Rav to be telling us that? V'homas nisin, he nadar v'layla Shabbos. Our Mishnah said exactly that, that if she made the neder on Friday night, then he has that entire night as well as the day to be made for. So we see clearly, now we're going back to Aforas Nedarim, you see clearly Aforas Nedarim can take place by night. Ella Emer, you're right. You have to correct what Rav Abba is reporting in the name of Rav Huna. In the name of Rav, it's actually halacha mish'olim balayla. The halacha is you're allowed to ask the chacham, you're allowed to be matur neder by night. Now that we don't see clearly in the Mishnah, so that we needed Rav to be informing us that. However, omale Rav Abba la Rav Huna. However, Rav Abba says to Rav Huna, after he had quoted Rav Huna as saying this in the name of Rav, he asked him, Omar Rav Hochi, did Rav in fact say that? Omalei Ishtik, so Rav Huna says he was quiet. He didn't actually say this explicitly, but when I suggested this to him, he was quiet. And then he asked, now there's two different Gersois over here in the Gemara. So, Omalei Ishtik Ka'amret or Shossi Ka'amret. So Rav Huna is asking Rav Abba, why are you asking me that? Is it you're telling me ishtik that I ought to be quiet, that I ought not to say that in Rav's name if you didn't really say that? Oy shossi or ashkian is a different gisa, ka'amret, or are you saying I'm very impressed that you said that and I want to offer you a drink?
To drink,
because the word shossi, the word ishtik can also be related to the word shossi, which means ishkion, which means to give me a drink. So the Ran brings, there are actually two different gersois over here. There are kind of two gersois blended over here in the way we have it in front of us in the Gemara. So one way is that Rav Huna is asking of Abba, you're asking me, did Rav really say this? Is this because you like this and you want to offer me a cup of wine in praise of it? Or you're telling me, you're saying, how could you say that? Rav said that and you want me to be quiet and not say that. The other way of understanding it is that Rav Abba is asking Rav Huna, did you clearly hear Rav saying this? And Rav Huna tells him that no, I told it to Rav and Rav was quiet. He didn't answer, so now Rav Abba is saying, well, was he quiet because he agreed? He was quiet as like, fine, you know, I hear what you're saying. Or was he quiet as like he's saying, you know, don't bother with that. I'm not even going to bother responding to you because that's that. But yeah. So now that also affects the next line of the Gemara when the Gemara continues, Omer of Ikaba Ovin. So now, if you say it points the second way, then actually we need the word Toshma before it, because now the Gemara is going to bring up proof that Rav himself held this way, as we're going to see a case involving Rav himself. On the other hand, if we go according to the first way, that Rav Huna is asking of Abba, what's your motivation in asking me the question, then there's no sense in bringing a proof from what Rav says, so then from what Rav did, so then the Gemara is just saying a separate statement. So the Gemara continues, Omer of Ikaba Obin. instead of Ikaba. Up until we had, by the way, this kind of thing, Ishtion or Ishtik, we had something very similar at the end of Ksubas. We had something similar as well, where one of the Chachamim says something, I think it was also Rav Huna over there, and another one of the Chachamim calls him on it and says the same thing. Are you saying that you're praising it, or are you saying that you're telling me it's better not to say that?
Give me a drink,
praising it, meaning give me a drink. Yeah, that you're offering me a drink and in praise with it. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Omer of Ikaba Ovid, is the kick lay Rav the Rabba? Rav one time dealt with a case of Rabba, a neder of Rabba, the Kituna de Bei Rav, in a small room of the Beis Medrash. So it's like a side room, a Kituna means like a side room of the Beis Medrash. And Oymed and Rav, when he was listening to this Hatara Sedarim, he was standing, Yechidi, he was doing it by himself because he was a Yachid Mukha, or by Laila, and it was at night. So again, if we go
all above,
to all of the above, the point is, again, if we have the girsa before, that it was Rav Huna asking Rav Abba, what's your motivation in asking me the question, then this is a separate thing. If you say that it's Rav Abba is asking Rav Huna, did Rav in fact say this, or did he just, and Rav Huna tells him he was quiet, and Rav Abba is saying, well, why was he quiet? Is it because he agreed with you or not? Then the Gemara is bringing Toshma, you see a case where Rav himself was Matur Neder at night. So the Gemara continues, Omer Rabba, Omer Rav Nachman, Halacha Mishol Nedarim Oymed Yechidi Ovalayla. The Halacha is that yes, you can ask to be Matur Neder when the Rav is standing. He doesn't have to be sitting for the purpose. Yechidi, he can be by himself. You don't necessarily need three. Ovalayla, it can be at night. Over Shabbos, it can also be on Shabbos, as we said before, when it's needed for Shabbos. Over Kroivim, and it can also be involving relatives, as we said before. And Rav Nachman is adding, even if you had time before Shabbos, so that's what we said before on Amud Aleph, that even if there would have been time before Shabbos to be Matur the Neder, but for whatever reason you didn't, because you didn't feel like being Matur Neder yet then, or because the Rav wasn't available, whatever it is, you're able to do it on Shabbos. So now, let's address that one.
It doesn't say over here if it has to be
with Shabbos
or...
No. So that we know. We already established before that it does have to be with Tzarek HaShabbos. Yeah.
In a normal case of judgment, the dayan has to be sitting?
Usually the dayanim have to be sitting during a din Torah, yeah. Yeah. The edim and the bala din stand in front of them, the dayanim are supposed to be sitting. Yeah. With Avraham Avinu and Hashem, there wasn't a din Torah involved. No, we learn it actually. That's right. Rashi does make that's true. Rashi mentions at the beginning of Vayera, yeah, that Avraham is sitting by the entrance of his tent and Hashem is Saviyachol standing over him, and he says that's how it'll be in the future, that your descendants will be sitting in Dine Torah and I'll be standing over there and observing. Yeah, that's true. Okay. So now, the Gemara says, let's address this one about Oymed. So we're saying that you're able to stand when you're being Matur Neder, and we have the example, we're saying that Rav himself did that. The question is, Vahatanya, we learn in a Braisa, and we have a story in Eruvin, a long story over there, where one part of the story is that a person comes, while Rav Gamliel is traveling on the road, while he's riding on a donkey, a person comes to him to be Matur Neder, and the Braisa says in the middle of the story, Yorad Rav Gamliel Menachamar, Rav Gamliel got down off the donkey, Venis Atif, and he wrapped himself up in his talus, Vyoshav, and he sat down, Vihitra Lai Nidra, and he was mapped with the guy's Nidra. So you see that you can't be riding by assumption, you can't be standing either. It means, in other words, you have to pay your full attention to it. So we see that, now, fine, that was Rav Gamliel, but we don't find anybody else who argues with Rav Gamliel about that. So how could we be saying that you could do it standing? The answer is, and again, here we have a couple of different explanations and a couple of different yursois. Rav Gamliel Sava Poiskin Bacharota, Rav Gamliel holds that, yeah, now, like this, we've discussed before in the Masechta a number of times, what are the grounds that you can be Matur Neder on? Now, there's two different ways. There's charota, when the person says he regrets that he ever made the neder. And then there's pesach, when you find he may not regret the neder as a whole, but you find some side effect or some consequence of the neder that he didn't realize when he made the neder. We're therefore, we're mevatel the neder on that basis. And as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, neder should bottom of tzase, bottom kuloi, that once you mevatel part of it, then you mevatel the whole thing. So we give an example. We have an example earlier in the Masechta. Let's say a person made a neder not to eat meat for a period of time, and we remind him, you know, you should realize you have a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos for earning Shabbos. And if he said he wouldn't have made the neder, then in that case, or at least he wouldn't have formulated it in those words. So then we're able to be mevatel the whole neder. So now, Rav Gamliel holds poskin b'charota that Rav Gamliel would hold that you have to start out by showing that the neder to begin with was based on a mistake, namely that it's based on charota. So now for that you need to think into that carefully to be able to go back to the beginning of the neder and show that the whole thing was a mistake. Therefore, miyata neder ba'inan, that would require then that we're uprooting the neder to begin with. Uboy yuni, so you have to think into it. Ahoch yosha, that is why Rav Gamliel said. Whereas Rav Nachman would hold that you don't need to start with charota, even if the person doesn't say I regret it, we can still be matter the neder based on some other grounds, and therefore for that you don't need v'afilum ha'umad, so then you can even be stand. Now that is how the Mefarish has the girsa over here. The Ran here has the girsa the other way around, that it's Rav Gamliel says ein poskin b'charata, that you can't use charata, meaning that you need a pesach. Well, a pesach you have to start thinking into. What are the consequences of this neder? What are the consequences that flow from this neder? And therefore, which one of them can we use? Can we ask him, do you realize this consequence? And therefore, you wouldn't have made the neder if you had realized it. As opposed to the Machon would say, poskin b'charata, therefore, so all you need is to ask the person, oh, do you have charata? And that doesn't take much thinking into. Therefore, on that grounds, you could do it stand. So in fact, you have in that Gemara, in Erevin, you have Rashi and Tosfos argue on what happened over there when the Gemara discusses the same point over there. Rashi and Tosfos have essentially the same argument there as the Mefarish and the Ran do over here, what the meaning is, what Rav Gamliel holds versus what we hold Lahalacha. But it boils down to that according to Rav Gamliel, you have to think carefully into it. Therefore, you can't be standing. You have to be sitting, or in Rav Gamliel's case, he's sitting on the ground rather than on the donkey in order to give it your full attention. Whereas according to Rav Nachman and according to Rav, and this is the halacha, you don't really need to do that. You don't really need to give it your full attention. Therefore, you're able to be standing. Therefore, we had before that Chiya Barab would even be shooting arrows or checking a shchita knife while he's listening, because if all you need to ask the person is, do you have charata? Well, then fine, that doesn't take much thinking into.
You're allowed to feed him with charata.
So you're allowed to ask them, do you have charata? The halacha is, in the end, that the Ran brings over here, the Ran brings over here from the Rashba, who says, now we hold poskin b'charata. We do hold that you can begin with charata. You don't necessarily need to find a pesach. Although we've discussed before, it says in Shulchan Aruch, what they're noyig to do is you use the charata itself as a pesach. You say, if you admit, when you made this neder, if you realize that eventually you're going to come to regret this neder, would you have made that neder? Well, if he says that not, as we would expect, then that itself can be a pesach. That itself is a consequence of the neder that he didn't think of at the time. So now the Ran brings from the Rashba that we taka don't need to sit. And he goes on to say, so even if the person does not have charata, even if in fact you need to find a pesach, then the Rashba says, since you could have begun Ma'umad, in other words, the Rashba says like this, when you're being matir neder, you're allowed, the halacha is you're allowed to start by asking the person, do you regret this neder? Now, there are two possibilities. Either he says yes, and we can be matir neder based on that alone, or he says no, and then we have to find a pesach. So the Rashba is saying, that being the case, even when it comes to the part where you have to find a pesach, you ask him, do you regret the neder? He says no. Now you have to start thinking, can I find a pesach? That part, the Rashba is saying, you can do standing as well. because once you've begun standing, you're allowed to continue standing. The Ram says, I don't really like that. If you have to find a Pesach, then yeah, you have to sit. But because you can begin with Charota, and you can be Matur Nedu exclusively on the basis of Charota, therefore you're allowed to stand. Whereas again, I'm going to be all held that you can't. You always have to start by looking for a Pesach, therefore you have to be sitting in the first place.
So when you have, let's say, you come in with a life, and I'm going against her will. So
now, one second. Hafara is different. Hafara doesn't require her das.
Oh.
So that's what we're even going to talk about in the Gemara soon, about Koyfin. We're going to get into that soon. But no, here we're talking about Hatoras Nedarim. So Hatoras Nedarim obviously requires... one second. Hatoras Nedarim obviously requires that you... now there are two possibilities. It can be that you are coming to be Matur Neder. Well, in that case, obviously you're having Charata, otherwise you wouldn't be coming to be Matur Neder. You can also have the case where people are bringing you, or even that based in is summoning you to be Matur your Neder, and then you may not have Charata at all. Then they need to find a Pesach. Yeah, what were we going to say?
Yeah, there's three options here, and I'd like you to clarify. Do you need Charata and a Pesach? Do you need all Charata only or a Pesach only?
Okay, so this is what we're saying. There's machlokas here in the Gemara, whether Charata is enough or whether you need a Pesach. Everybody agrees that you can be Matur Neder based on a Pesach. The question is, is Charata all by itself enough, or do you need something else? So we're saying, now there is a machlokas about that. The halacha we're saying over here, and we learned earlier in the Masechta, is Charata is technically enough. If the person says, I'm mischaret, you see it in Hataras Nedarim that we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah, for example. The person gets up over there, Shimon Rabbi said, Dayanim Mumchim, he says, all the Ulman Nedarim that I made, he says, I regret them all that I ever made them, and I want to ask Hataras Nedarim for them. You don't see him mentioning a Pesach for them. So yes, Charata is enough. However, it does say in Shulchan Aruch, as I said before, that there are the minhag developed because in order to honor the opinions that say that a Pesach is required, that you use the Charata itself as a Pesach. Like this, Charata by itself would be, you ask him, do you have Charata on that nether? He says yes. They say, good, Mutulach. Making the Charata into a Pesach means that we ask him, when you made this nether, did you realize the reasonable possibility that you might in the future regret ever having made this nether? Because you realize that you made it in haste or something like that. And now if you had realized that at the time, you wouldn't have made the nether. If he says yes, then that itself forms a Pesach. So now you've made the Charata itself into a Pesach, and then you can be Matur Neder with that, even according to the opinion that you need a Pesach.
I think, in my mind, a Pesach and a Charata are two different things, and that's the reason why.
That's what we're saying. They are.
No. One second. What you just said shows that it's not. It is the same thing.
One second. There are two different grounds of being Matur Neder. You can turn one into the other. You can turn Charata into a Pesach, or you can have a Pesach that's not based on Charata. Again, a Pesach does not in and of itself require Charata. A Pesach could be, for example, we learned earlier in the Masechta, we had a Perek Rebbe Eliezer talked about Pesachim. So we said, for example, let's say we tell him that when you made this Neder, did you realize that on Shabbos you have a mitzvah to eat meat and drink wine. So now, when he says that, no, I didn't take that into consideration. So he's not being mischaret, he's not regretting that he ever made the neder. But he's saying, I wouldn't have made the neder, including Shabbos and Yom Tov. I would have formulated it differently. I would have said it applies only to weekdays, let's say. So then we're saying that we can be matur the neder on that basis, even though there's no charata. Here, what we're saying is that Charata all by itself is enough. It would be enough to ask him, when you made this neder, were you thinking straight? And he says no, and that itself is enough of a reason to be matur the neder. What we can do is you can make that Charata itself into a Pesach, or instead, of course, we could find any one of a number of other Pesachim that would be available, as we learned in that part.
Now, this is not what I'm asking.
We really need to get on, but fine. Go ask one more thing, and then let's continue.
Okay. A Pesach means you have to find a specific reason that was unknown at the time of the Neder. The harata is something that's non-specific at all. And you cannot say that one equals the other.
It's not that one equals the other, but one can be the other in the sense that harata itself is a side effect that you didn't consider when you made the neder. A harata would be, now I regret having made that neder. If I had realized when I made that neder that I am going to come to regret it, then I might not have made the neder in the first place. Therefore, the harata becomes a pesach. But yes, the pesach could equally well be any of many other things that we can show that there's some effect that happened, that's happening or going to happen as a result of the neder, which the person didn't take in mind at the time. Yeah. All right, let's go on. We can clarify that further. If you still don't understand, we'll clarify it later. Okay, let's go on.
No, I understand, but let's go on. Yeah.
Let's go on. Omalei Rava le Rav Nachman. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, I want you to realize Rav Nachman was Rava's Rebbe. He says, look, you should realize Chozi Mar Luk Rebbe. One of the Chachamim who came from the West, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, the Omar, and he told us, is the Kikul Le Rabbanon Le Breid Rabbuna Ba'oven. The Rabbanon one time got involved to be Matur Neder for the son of Rabbuna Ba'oven. Rasharu Le Nidre. They were Matur the Neder. But you should know how harsh they were on him on the fact that he had made the neder in the first place. The Omrulei, after being Matur Ned, they told him, Zil Uboi Rachmi Al Nafshach, go daven for Rachmanus for yourself from Hashem, the Chotos, because you did an Aveira by making that neder. The turning of Dimi, Achor did of Safra, as of Dimi, the brother of Safra, told of Braisa, call on neder, when a person makes a neder, even though he later on fulfills the neder. Now, obviously, if he doesn't fulfill the neder, that's a pretty serious issue, but even if he fulfills it, Nikra Choyte, he's still called a sinner. Now, we've talked about before, and Tosfos mentions over here, that we're not talking about every kind of neder. In particular, when a person makes a neder be'eis tzara, when he's in a time of trouble, like Yaakov who did when he's escaping from Esav, that's actually a very good thing. Then he's not called a choiter for that. Similarly, also a neder of hekdesh is a good thing. Here we're talking about the kind of nedarim that we've mostly been focusing on throughout the Masechta, where the person is going to deprive himself of something or other. So that kind of thing, where they would tell the person that a priest called a choiter. Omer of Zvid Maikra, so Rav Zvid says, where's a pasuk that expresses that point? The pasuk says, "V'chisechta linder lo yia v'chochet." The pasuk says, if you hold back from making a neder, there won't be a sin in you, which implies holo chadal te'ikachet, implying the converse is true. If you don't hold back, then there is a chet in you. So Rava is telling Rav Nachman, he was so impressed with look how seriously they take nedarim in Eretz Yisrael, that after they're matter the neder, they tell the person how badly he had done by making that neder in the first place. By the way, we learned earlier in the Masechta that there were Chachamim who held that maybe you could use that kind of thing even as a Pesach for the neder. You could say, did you realize when you made the neder that it's an Aveira to do that? However, we ended up saying in the Gemara, you cannot do that. Because we always want to have, ultimately, even a Pesach requires a certain degree of Harata, not Harata on the whole neder, but at least the person has to say, I wouldn't have made the neder if I'd realized that. Well, if you tell him that this is an Aveira, no normal Yid is going to say, well, I don't care that it's an Aveira, I'm doing it anyway. Therefore, so that kind of thing you can't use because he may not sincerely say that he regrets it as a result of that. Okay. Going back now to Hafaras Nedarim. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Ha'omer l'ishtai, suppose a husband says to his wife, kol nedarim shetidori, any nedarim that you will make in the future, I do not want you to make those nedarim. So he tells her, from now on, I don't want you to be making any nedarim. Or he says, aims a neder, this is not a neder. Then what he said doesn't count for anything. Now the Rambam's two explanations over here. The first explanation is that is what he said counting as a hakama? Does it count as validating the neder and making that now it's official and now he can't be maker anymore? So according to that Girsa, we don't have the words aims and neder, but rather what he says is, when he says efshishididirdi, he's saying that in effect, it sounds like he's saying, in effect, whatever nedarim you made until now, good. But any nedarim you make in the future, I don't want to. So doesn't that imply a hakama? So the Braisa is telling us that no, that does not count as a hakama, because that does not count as a hakama. Then on the other hand, the Ran brings another explanation. What it means is like this. The first half of the Braisa that we said so far is talking about what is and isn't a valid hafara. If he says the words, if he says, I don't want you to be making nedarim, that does not constitute a hafara. Even though it amounts to saying, I don't like the nedarim you made so far, and I want to be made for them, he has to actually say the words mufurlich. And if he doesn't, if he says, I don't want you to make nedarim, or he says, according to this gear, so we do have the words ain's a neder, or he says, this neder that you made is not a neder, that's not hafara. He has to actually say the words mufurlich. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, Yotha Osis, but if he tells his wife you did good by making this neder, or the Ein Kamoisech, or he says there's nobody like you, there's nobody as good as you, or he says the Imlo Nadarut Madurechani, or he says, you know what, if you hadn't made this neder, I would have imposed this neder on you, all of those, Dvar of Kayamin, then what he said is bound. So according to the Ram's first explanation, the Braisa is contrasting Lashonis that do not work as a Hakama versus ones that do. So if he says, E.F. Shishitidori, I don't want you to make the Dorim from now on, implying that the Dorim that you made until now, fine, I'm accepting. But the ones from now on, no. Nevertheless, that wouldn't work as a Hakama because you need some kind of Lashon that amounts to a Hakama. So therefore, then on the other hand, if he says Yofa, Asis, etc., then that would be a valid hakama. According to his second explanation, the first part of the Braisa is talking about Lashonis that are not a valid hafara, and the second one is talking about ones that are a valid hakama. And according to that second explanation, the vote would be, since we're going to learn later on in the Gemara when the husband establishes and confirms the neder, it doesn't need to be that he says it verbally. It's enough that he thinks it is mine. Well, fine. If he says, if he said you did good, that still amounts to in his mind. He's thinking this is a good neder, therefore that's good. Only when he says, according to that, in other words, according to that second explanation, any lashon that would amount to saying that he approves of this neder is considered an approval, is considered a hakama. On the other hand, with hafara, he has to actually say a lashon that's where he clearly uses the word hafara.
Hafara takes more work.
Hafara takes more work, in other words, yeah. Now the Gemara continues. And the Ran has the word in here, Tanya, that this is another braisa, or maybe it's a continuation of the previous braisa. Now we talked before about being made for nedarim on Shabbos. Now let's get into a detail about it. A person should not say to his wife on Shabbos that the neder is mufer for you, or botel lichi, or that the neder is botel for you, which would be the way that he says it on weekdays. Rather, he tells her on Shabbos, take this food and eat it. Let's say it was whatever kind of food it is that she asked it on herself. Meat, let's say, or tli or shi, or take and drink, and the neder is bottle on its own. In other words, what it is is like this. Since it's true, we said before, you're allowed to be made for nedarim on Shabbos, because otherwise a deadline is coming. Nevertheless, you should try to make a shin. So instead of using the usual lashon mufalich, instead you can use this method. But Rabbi Yochanan says, nevertheless, he would still have to be mevatel in his heart. He would still have to think in his heart that the neder is bottle. So what about we just said that hafara needs to be with words? So here you actually have several different opinions of Rishonim. The Rosh brings an explanation from Rabbeinu Eliezer Minitz, one of the Balei HaTosfos, who says that when we say over here beliboy, actually means that he would whisper the words mufurlich. He wouldn't actually say it in a way that she could hear it to her within her hearing. He would just say tli v'ichli, tli v'shsi, but he would actually express the words mufurlich, but he would say it quietly in a way that she doesn't hear. But the other now another way of understanding it is that the Rambam learns that there are actually two different ways for the husband. We touched on this at the beginning of this parak, that according to the Rambam, there were actually two different ways where the husband can be made for his wife's neder or the father of his daughter's neder. He can do it verbally by saying mufalich or some equivalent expression, or he can do it with action by giving her the food and telling her tli v'ichli tli ushsi. According to the Rambam, each of those is equally valid, and therefore we're saying on Shabbos, don't use that Hafara method, instead use the giving her the food method. The Ravid, in fact, argues on the Rambam on that, and he says, what are you talking about? There's no separate way of tli v'ichli tli ushsi. In fact, there's a Mishnah in Nazir, which we'll get to in a couple of months, Rav Hashem, that implies that when an Eved makes a neder, you can force him to be over on his neder, because he has no right to make the neder in the first place, but a wife you can't force like that, you can only be made for the neder. So what are you talking about? Giving her the food, and the Rambam uses the expression koifer. So in fact, the Noisa Kalim and the Rambam deal with that on various angles. One of them being that when the Rambam uses the word koifer, he doesn't literally mean the husband forces her. He just means that putting the food in front of her is the equivalent of saying that the neder is bottled. So he doesn't need to explicitly say the words. Mufalich, the fact that he's giving her the food amounts to saying that the neder is bottled. And in fact, there's an explanation we talked about at the beginning of the parak. The Malbim on the Psukim points out, you have the words in the Pasuk, you have the word Hefer, Hefer Lab Yom Sham, you have the word Hefer and you have the word Haney. So maybe the Rambam is saying that the words Haney and Hefer actually refer to the two different methods of canceling the neder. One is where you actually say the word Muferloch, and the other is Haney, literally means to discourage her, is by giving her the food and telling her Tliva Ichli Tliva. So one second. The vote would be that according to the Rambam, either one can work on weekdays as well. On Shabbos, you should only use the one because you have the alternative. But on weekdays, according to the Rambam, you could use either one. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Beshamai says that on Shabbos he would have to be mevatel in his heart, but on weekdays he'd actually have to express it verbally with his lips. Or Vesilo says, weekday or Shabbos, you can be mevatel in your heart, you don't need to express it verbally. So the Ran has some discussion about it. There's a different girsa that according to Beis Shammai, b'Shabbos mevatel b'libay, and in the evening once Shabbos is over, then moitzi b'sfasav. But the Ran says I don't really like that girsa. So he explains, in other words, that. So again, the Ran explains, if he doesn't tell her tli v'ichli tli ushsi, then you need to say mufalich. But if he does say that, then it's enough to be mevatel in his heart, because then the combination of being mevatel mentally and of saying tli v'ichli tli ushsi is enough to be mevatel the neder. As opposed to, then he says, the Rambam learns differently. The Rambam seems to say, it doesn't even need to be that he's a vatel in his heart. Just saying, tli v'ichli, tli ushsi is enough. And in fact, the Ravid questions the Rambam on that. So now you have one explanation, in fact, that they give, is that the Ravid may hold, like Rabbi Yezer Minitz, that we said, that's quoted in the Rosh, that says that actually, beliboy in all Gemara over here doesn't mean in his heart, but rather that he whispers it rather than saying it out loud. So the bottom line is, so you have several different opinions of Rishonim over here. The bottom line is, we want to do things differently on Shabbos than we do on weekdays. So one way of understanding it is, on Shabbos, you can get away with just thinking it in your mind and not have to actually say the words, because after all, at least you should try to make a shinui on Shabbos. So you think it in your mind, you tell her, tli v'ichli tli ushsi. The other understanding is that even on Shabbos, you would have to whisper it, you just don't say it out loud, whereas on other days of the week, you would have to. And then you have a coin to the Rambam, where on Shabbos you wouldn't even have to be thinking that you're mevatel in your heart, just tli, or even on weekdays, technically, all you need to do is tli v'ichli, tli ushsi, and that's an equally valid way of being mevatel the neder as, say, mufalich, which again, the Ran and the Ravid are disagreeing with that point of the Rambam. Okay. Shkarech, everyone.